echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a business podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations innovate and grow value in a digital world. Episode 46, Leading FinOps Practices on Google Cloud. Today, we'll take a deep dive into the framework and cultural shift that brings technology, finance, and business together to drive financial accountability and accelerate business value. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist at Google Cloud. Thank you for listening. We have a full house today, so let's get right into it and introduce our panel of guests, Eric Lamb, Bruce Warner, and Patek Sharma. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Would you mind going around the room and introducing yourselves?
Hello, Chris. Thanks for having us on the show today. My name is Eric Lamb, and I lead our Google Cloud FinOps practice. Prior to Google, I spent the last 15 years in management consulting, working with our customers and clients, helping them solving complex business problems through technologies and cloud transformations. In the past, it has been primarily focused on building a case for change to help CIOs and CTOs justify their investment for cloud. As organizations mature and cloud adoption has become the norm, those conversations have been shifted to how can you better help us manage our cloud spend, creating a cloud financial governance and processes to help us realize the business value of cloud. Hence, Cloud FinOps is the center of every single customer conversations. And now we are not only engaging with CIOs and CTOs, but also the COO and CFO across the enterprise. Glad to be here today.
Hi, Chris. Bruce Warner. Terrific to be here today. So I'm part of Google's Cloud Value Advisory, and I have a background in cloud economics, working with customers to understand the economics of running a data center and what that looks like transitioning to the cloud, working with finance leaders to understand the impacts to the P&L, what will happen with metrics such as EBITDA, accounting considerations, how to consider potentially capitalizing certain cloud offerings, and focus on financial governance or controls in the cloud and how to manage it efficiently. I have a background in IT financial asset management, spent about 25 years of my career in that in a classic data center environments, and have now found my way to the cloud. Great to be here.
All right, I'll go next. Thanks for having us here, Chris. My name is Patek Sharma. I work in Google Cloud Professional Services, mainly focusing on digital transformation. I lead our cost optimization practice, mainly that focuses on one, how customers can make sense of their cloud spend, and two, now that you have made sense of it, how do you optimize it, keeping in mind you are maximizing the business value. I have been really fortunate to work with some of the largest and fastest growing businesses and how they operate on cloud. And one of the pain points that I came across over and over again were the issues around cloud cost management. Internally, the practice have coined this as a cost star problem, right? Meaning any symptom that our customers are facing can be bucketed into cost estimation and forecasting, cost visibility and reporting, cost control policies and alerting, cost governance and optimization, and the list goes on and on and on. So basically, it's a cost star problem. And as we dive deeper into this, we find that it is not just a technology problem or a technology conversation, but it's more along the lines of a standardization of business processes and a mental shift in an organization culture that is required in realizing the true value of cloud. This is what kind of brought me to this wonderful crew, Eric and Bruce, as well as to the concept of FinOps on cloud.
That's a great way to segue into our conversation. Now, Eric, during your intro, you mentioned that this isn't just about financial operations per se. We're looking at this from across the entire C-suite just about. So what are some of the trends that we see from our customers when we're diving into this FinOps conversation and for Google Cloud?
That's a great question, Chris. As we engage with many of our Google Cloud customers, I see there's a number of trends and key themes surface from our discussions. The very first one is essentially Cloud FinOps should not be an afterthought. It should be integrated as part of the cloud transformation journey. It is one of the critical foundations that enable a lot of organizations to be successful on this multi-cloud journey. And many of the business and tech leaders realize that it's much more expensive to retrospectively fix this, you know, 2 to 3 down, you know, years down the road on their cloud journey than doing it right from the beginning. The second themes and trend that we see is that there's a shift from this product, from this project-centric model to a product-centric model, and having a centralized cloud FinOps team that has representations across the organizations, including IT engineering, architecture, finance, and business app teams are critical to the success. And the third theme that we see is this shift to that product-centric model, which encompassing the financial processes around how organizations are looking at financial forecasting, business value measurement and realizations, and the whole concept of, you know, what's my colleague here, Bruce, you know, named the P&L of the future, which essentially focuses on the unit economics and enabling finance leaders to clearly map the P&L to their cloud cost metrics. So these conversations are evolving from just focus on the cost to defining business value metrics to unit economics, and essentially moving us from a reactive to a predictive cloud cost management.
I think when we talk about project versus product, and maybe product is not necessarily the right word, maybe it's more program. I know a lot of times when I have conversations with customers and I kind of outline this concept of, if you're investing in a project, it's usually a one-time cost that has an end of life. Whereas if you're investing in a program, much like you have an HR team and a marketing team and a technology team that doesn't have an end of life, there's a shift definitely in there from a mindset perspective and definitely from a funding perspective. So Bruce, how do you typically try to present that in this context?
The context of many customer conversations, product versus project, is more related to how customers are looking to track their costs and not so much around the initiative associated with FinOps and whether it'll be a short duration, one-time fix versus a permanent organizational structural change with its own set of processes that will endure with the business.
I think one of the key things where we see a lot of customers, you know, shifting from project, you know, based modeling or what you call, Chris, as a program model, really there's a whole fundamental shift of accountability, right? So you think about the, as a product owner, owning the entire product as set of services end to end, from the ideations through the development of the product through the operations and ongoing new features and releases, and try to adjust to the fact that we will now need to work very closely with the business team, understanding the demand, understanding the features. So that ownership and the accountability ties perfectly into our FinOps framework as we talk about, you know, shifting left and shifting and federating the accountability of financial control to the business unit. Hence, as a product-centric model is where we see a lot of customers are now, you know, embracing.
Another way to look at it is any business that was not born in the cloud has run data centers or colo facilities, had traditional IT infrastructure, has a whole set of processes that connect between finance and IT and their business owners on how investments are made, the line of financial visibility given to those, the controls around those investments, the impact of the P&L, and the way those processes operate in a data center environment are vastly different than they do in a cloud environment. For one, in a data center environment, typically you're making an upfront one-time procurement decision that's going to have a lifespan of 5, 6, 7, 8 years or more. Whereas you're moving now to a cloud environment using consumption-based resources in an on-demand basis. So as your needs go up, your resources scale up dynamically with your needs. And as your needs go down, they scale down dynamically. It's an entirely different operating model. So the way customers need to think about financial controls, as well as providing financial line of sight to what costs will be and how to control those costs and ensure maximum return on investment, require a different processes, but also a different culture, and a different culture around how the responsibility is going to be shared for controlling those costs and creating awareness and creating passion about achieving efficient outcomes.
And Bruce, to carry on with that conversation, clearly organizations who are going through this shift are experiencing challenges. What are some of the biggest challenges that we're seeing?
Given that these changes are so pervasive and they impact processes and people and culture and systems, there are a lot of challenges that customers face when moving to this model. Many companies start from a point of having limited resources. There's no existing team to start with that's a FinOps team, so they're creating a new function in their business. They're creating new roles, and as we all know and have experienced, creating new roles in a new organization can take time for any business. There's many competing priorities, so as companies make a decision to make a strategic move to the cloud, there's a lot to consider and a lot to work with from architecture, security, which applications to migrate, when to migrate, how to do that cost effectively with the cost structure in the current data center or colo facility you're operating out of. So with those many competing priorities, it can be difficult to figure out, well, when do I actually get at this FinOps thing? What we find is one of the biggest challenges is around creating this culture of cost accountability across the engineering teams. I tend to think of the cloud as a democratization of technology. It puts really powerful technology in the hands of builders to go innovate and create amazing new capabilities for their business. What Cloud FinOps represents is the democratization of financial accountability. How do you take and bring financial accountability to those amazing engineers who are building new innovative capabilities? And I think the other key challenge that customers face is many are coming from a place of operating a very centralized IT P&L where they use allocations to associate or tax their business units with overhead IT costs. And many are on a journey to move to a true consumption-based, what we call chargeback P&L, where the business units are costed with their actual consumption costs. That's an entirely different model than a centralized data center IT P&L.
And with some of those challenges, obviously, we've got best practices to help organizations get around it. And one of the areas that I want to touch on here that you covered was the culture. So Patrick, what are some of the best practices that we could share with our listeners just around building a positive culture for an organization trying to build a FinOps practice?
Quite a few comes to the mind. Let's start with ownership, right? The first one is, you know, making sure that cloud cost is everyone's responsibility. That includes the developer who is working on pushing a new feature. It could be an architect design solutioning on cloud. It could be your product manager developing innovative products and solutioning on cloud. And so on and so forth for your business and finance team. So making sure that cost is really pervasive across the organization and that everyone understands that it is a metric that everyone captures and tracks and sustainably thinks about as they deploy and develop, you know, everything on cloud. That's one of the things that we've seen black belt customers or the run state customers have embraced that. And In order to standardize some of these, you know, best practices and KPIs and success metrics along the lines of what it means for cost to be tracked as a metric, we've seen that there is often a central team, a central FinOps team, or a center of excellence team that standardizes these processes and best practices, and that comes from varied perspectives from business, finance, and technology coming together to define that framework and what those practices would look like. Like, this is something that was focused on the people side. Now, coming on the processes, blamelessness, right? This is basically a page right out of our SRE principles, our Google Cloud, Google's SRE principles, is when mistakes are being treated as a blameless opportunity to learn something, right? Creating an atmosphere of growth in your company, that means acknowledging the mistake. Sometimes it could be costly. Identifying what the cause was, and then creating a psychological safe environment so everyone is able to speak to it and create innovative solutions and not have the same mistake repeated in the next cycle, right? So it's basically creating that psychological safe environment within your organization that invokes the innovation. And rather than blaming the person, you are blaming the process, identifying it and fixing it from the root cause perspective and kind of scaling this across the organization. The other one that we've seen come quite often is the ability to provide real-time feedback when it comes to visibility on what everyone is really spending on cloud, right? So for example, there was a phenomenon that was introduced called the Prius effect, right? When hybrid Toyota Prius introduced kind of the real-time feedback based on the gasoline consumption, it kind of drove better behaviors from a driver perspective. If everyone within the organization, maybe the finance team, the team who owns the budget, developers, cloud architect, cloud practitioners, if they know how and when they are spending their cloud spend, it automatically drives better behavior because now you have the visibility into who's accountable for what. And then finally, you know, no matter what you try to decide to improve, always define metrics. Set target goals and measure often to track your progress on how you are doing it across that. The other thing that I can think about from a cost-conscious best practices perspective is gamification. We've seen customers use leaderboards, incorporate this best practices as a part of OKRs, which is objective key results, or MBO, management business objectives, or it could be a part of organizational core value that really incentivize organization to think about cost, to think about maximizing the value in cloud, to think about how can they serve their customers better. And having that incentive framework in place really goes a long way in terms of creating that culture of cost consciousness within the organization.
I'm going to follow up on that. I love the idea that we should be able to measure success in some way. Do we have some specific examples of maybe KPIs or OKRs or some type of measurement that we could look at from a FinOps perspective?
This is a great question, Chris. I think, you know, as Patrick mentions, measuring success across the organization is going to be one of the key, you know, capabilities that we want to help drive, you know, accountability and a cost-conscious culture, you know, around FinOps. So within Google, we actually define, you know, 5 key metrics around each of the pillars. The first pillar that we focus on is around accountability and enablement. So for that one in particularly, what we see often is, you know, as a lot of made our customers embark on this cloud finance journey in their early crawl and walk stage of maturity, identifying who are the key business leaders that will be important and critical to help drive the adoption of FinOps, enabling them, providing a set of training curriculum around cloud FinOps is critical to the success. So the key metrics that we're looking to identify and capture here is essentially the cloud enablement percentage, the number of business leaders who are trained around the cloud FinOps topic across the organizations. And most importantly, when we think about the business leader, you know, we take the sort of 80-20 rules, right? The one that we want to focus on, essentially the one who have drive the highest cloud consumptions. So that's the first key metrics. The second one is around measurement and realizations. And for this one, you know, as Bruce mentioned earlier, we see a lot of customers are now shifting to this chargeback modeling. And fundamentally behind the chargeback modeling, you know, it's all about cost allocations, right? So understanding the unit cost, getting the cost visibility, providing the showback, then eventually shift to a chargeback model. What is the percentage of the cloud spend being allocated to the responsible business owner? It's going to be one of the critical key metrics to help ensure that we have the right measurement of success. The third area for ensuring metrics is cost optimizations. And so when we think about cost optimization that Patrick alluded to, we're looking at the cost optimization percentage of the realized savings. And that is equivalent to the ratio of total cloud services optimized in dollar value divided by the total cloud services that's optimizable, right? And this is important because it allows organizations to keep a pulse on all the inefficiencies that exist across the enterprise and allow the business leader to focus on achieving those cost savings. Finally, the other one that we also looking to, you know, ensure is planning and forecasting metrics. And this is a very common one that we see across many enterprises, whether they are on the cloud currently or on-prem. And that is really focused on the forecast accuracy, right? So essentially that is a measurement of actual cloud spend divided by the annual forecasted cloud spend. So the percentage of accuracy will be a very important one to understand. What we see a lot of CFO are aspiring to is to ensure that there is a 97 to 98% of financial forecasting accuracies. And the last one is around tools and accelerators. And this is really for more often time that we see organizations that are more matured in their overall cloud capability. This is, you know, the cloud FinOps adoptions around automations. So percentage of automated changes across the infrastructure that result in the cost savings. The way that we typically measure this is the number of automated recommendations being implemented. Oftentimes that we, you know, from a Google Cloud perspective, we do provide, you know, a number of recommendations and services where we see, you know, based on the actual consumption data, where they can optimize their Google Cloud services, such as Google Compute Engine, Google Cloud Storage, BigQuery, etc. So these are some of the, you know, key metrics that we see customers are now starting to adopt and embrace as part of their FinOps journey.
So I'm a leader in an organization. I'm sitting here listening. I buy into this FinOps. Yes, I need it. And I'm thinking about the plan, how to execute this, who ultimately is responsible for FinOps.
So Chris, FinOps is not a single accountability model. It's not an individual function, given that this impacts financial processes, IT processes, and the business. It really represents a co-responsibility model. That's why we look for executive alignment across IT, finance, and business leadership when we engage with customers and help them think through and build a strategy around building a cloud FinOps capability. The organizational structure will typically involve a range of skills, both technical skills, so building expertise and understanding the various cloud technologies and how to efficiently manage the resourcing, the pricing economics of those resources, and how to design from a cost perspective, how to architect your solution stack to drive down your unit costs. There's also financial related skills around cost controls, budgeting, establishing effective forecasting processes to, as Eric mentioned earlier, to accurately forecast one's spend, and then tie them to business drivers and business growth and the interests and needs of the business users that are being satisfied.
So as we start to look at wrapping this conversation up, I'm really curious to hear from each of you what your perspective is on the future of FinOps. Any predictions? Let's go around the room.
We see that cloud FinOps is going to become a key function in all organizations. there will be an ever-increasing collaborations between IT and finance teams, specifically leveraging data analytics to better understand the cloud spend. You know, similar to what Bruce mentioned, you know, cloud FinOps is the accountability of everyone's across the organizations. As such, you know, the practice of cloud FinOps will have a broad implication as well as the C-suite level. As the business become more proficient in connecting cloud spend to specific business outcome in a near real-time basis, you know, business and tech leaders need to leverage those data-driven insights, right, to make an informed financial decisions. Hence, you know, this is something that we see. It will become a key function as part of every single organization.
Some additional thoughts on the future of Cloud FinOps, Chris. So the FinOps Foundation uses a basic taxonomy, a crawl, walk, run taxonomy to refer to the organizational level of capability. And if you look across the marketplace today, roughly 40 to 45% of companies are at a crawl stage. So they're just setting up their initial foundations of Cloud FinOps capabilities. Another 40 to 45 are at a walk. So they have some capability, but they're looking to build and scale that as they scale their cloud investments. And only 10 to 15% are at a run stage. So highly mature. And a lot of those who are in a run stage are digital native companies, companies born in the cloud that don't have to deal with the legacy of classic data center environments. So in the next 3 to 5 years, I think we're going to see a significant shift in that pattern across the marketplace. We're going to see leading edge traditional companies building advanced run level of capabilities. And then that maturity curve scaling up, where a significantly greater number of companies will have established leading edge FinOps capabilities across their businesses. And with it, you'll see FinOps become a known career path and set of skills in the marketplace.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. I definitely agree with you and Eric that FinOps is going to be a critical function as customers tend to start adopting cloud more and more. And given that majority of the customers are in kind of that crawl and walk stages, there is quite a bit of capabilities gap that is required to be filled over the period of years in order to gain maturity in terms of running a perfect streamlined FinOps practices across an organization. I want to also go back to, you know, the term itself, like FinOps. It's similar to, you know, DevOps when it was coined back in 2009, and it has been successfully being adopted in large organizations who are rapidly releasing features and products based on customer demands. Similar to that, I feel like FinOps will also thrive for, you know, another decade or even more until it becomes a norm. Having the right FinOps practices is going to provide maximum business value for our customers. So, yeah, I agree with the thoughts that Eric and Bruce have already laid out earlier. I feel like it is going to be a critical function moving forward. Until it becomes a norm where each and every person in the organization is thinking about FinOps, following those best practices, automating as wherever needed, and really dynamically adjusting to customers' need when operating in cloud.
I think one of the other interesting areas when I think about the future of FinOps is not just that it's going to become part of our daily interoperability and interchanging of the process itself within an organization, but the areas of AI and machine learning that might get introduced on top of this also, where it can learn about your consumption and learn about the needs that you might have from a financial aspect to make decisions in the moment that directly affect how you expand and grow through the cloud. I think there's some really interesting elements there that will start to materialize very soon.
That's so true, Chris. I think one of the areas that you mentioned, you know, financial forecasting, it certainly is, you know, right for that, you know, embedding leveraging AI ML into that aspect, right? As far as, you know, historically we see enterprises are using what we call a trend-based forecasting model, using historical data to project for future growth and future consumptions. And we see more and more customers are now, you know, integrating into a hybrid financial forecasting model with a driver-based analysis. And machine learning is, you know, a perfect solution for that, you know, such that modeling analysis, you know, as we think about using Monte Carlo as an example simulations to define, you know, various business outcomes, right? And how does that going to impact our financial forecasting analysis, et cetera? That's got to be very critical.
Well, thank you all of you for joining. This has been truly exciting to have you with us and to talk through FinOps. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
And of course, thanks to all of you who are listening. If you would like to learn more about the show, if you have suggestions, comments, or ideas for the show, find us throughout social media and join us next week as we explore another innovation topic on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.